God's grace be with you today from our Father and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's start out today looking at Isaiah chapter 49. Here we have a prophecy that God the Father spoke to Jesus' Son in the days of the Old Testament. And it says this, God says to Jesus, "It's too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserved of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Last week we talked about God's plan. Remember that? God's plan for your life? Well, today we hear his plan, namely your salvation and the salvation of others to the very ends of the earth. And so the only way you are saved is how? By someone preaching to you. The only way other people are saved is by others preaching to them. So today I want to talk with you about evangelism, about you sharing with others that they may come to salvation. And especially that because next week is Friendship Sunday, you're going to have a chance to act on this sermon this week, inviting someone to church. And evangelism, what is that? That's where we are speaking and acting our faith in such a way that others hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ and that they might hear, believe, and be saved. Now, let's be honest. Evangelism is something we love more than anything else, right? And that's also something we avoid more than anything else because of fear. But God wants to come to us today to call us and to send us that we might partake of this great story in the lives of other people, that they might hear and be saved. That's what God's doing on earth right now, is saving people. He wants us to be part of that great adventure, that great mission. But today, our question that I want to address with you in a little bit is, can God use you? A lot of times we say, no, I'm really not qualified for this. You send me, but I'm not going to go because I don't see how you could use someone like me. I'm not gifted. But does God call you into the ministry of evangelism today? Well, yeah, first thing I want to say about this is it's a serious business, this evangelism. I remember how I was witnessed to. I grew up in the church. I thought I was serving Christ, but I was straying majorly in my 20s, seeking to learn about meditation and Native American mysticism and spiritual consciousness and all kinds of other junk like that. But God sent people into my life. I remember on one of the boats sailing from Gloucester, Massachusetts, up to Maine, I remember this evening, and I can still remember this passenger and I were sitting toward the rail on the starboard side of the boat as we're sailing, and it's towards sunset, and we were talking about spiritual things and my faith. And I was talking a lot about Jesus, and I was talking a lot about this Native American teacher. And the guy said to me, and I still remember it, he said, "Greg, you talk a lot about Jesus, you talk a lot about this other guy, but there's going to come a day soon where you're going to need to decide which one of these two you're going to follow, because both roads don't lead in the same way." And I didn't come to faith just at that moment, but that was a man God sent into my life along the chain of a number of people that really was leading me home, back to him. A little bit later, as you know, I got into this car accident, which I believe was divinely inspired. My car limped back a half a mile up the road to the house of a Southern Baptist artist who ended up sharing with me for 2 hours with his Christian art that he had, the gospel. And the Holy Spirit, and I could feel myself saying, yes, yes. It was confirmed in me. This is where I've been wrong. A couple weeks later, a woman arrived on the boat who was a passenger who was reading a book called The Beautiful Side of Evil about a woman who was into meditation, thinking it was Christian, this particular meditation, and it wasn't, and how she was saved out of that. And when I finished that book late one night, I put it down. I got down outside my bunk on the ship. I knelt down and I just renounced all the things that I'd been involved with. And I came back to Christ. and devoted myself to His Word and His Word alone, and nothing's been the same since. But it's many people that were witnessing to me over the course of time that brought me back, people God had sent. And this is the way it works. The only way people are saved is through people. God chooses to work through us to bring other people to salvation, just like with Peter and Cornelius, the first Gentile convert to Christianity. Peter says in Acts 11, the Spirit told me to go with these men to the house of Cornelius. Look at that. The Spirit told me to go, and he went, and Cornelius had seen an angel previously. He said, send and bring this man Peter, for he'll declare to you a message by which you will be saved. Let's confirm this again today, all right, that salvation is only in Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus, Peter says, there's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus says, I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will, unless you believe that I am He. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by me. I'm the way and the truth and the life. He's the Savior. You know, there's no other God. All these people in the world are following, be it Muhammad and Allah, or Vishnu and Krishna, or Joseph Smith, or some other guru. They don't have a plan for salvation and one that will work. Only God, the true God, through Jesus Christ, saves. And so this is so important for us to not just say today, I'm not qualified. This is serious business. God calls us to. And by the way, it's also fun. Do you know that? There's no greater thrill, really, an adventure than sharing the gospel with other people. And it can be even a delightful experience. I read this on the internet. This guy said, four of us men, knuckleheads, woke up at 3:30 in the morning, drove the Mason-Dixon line, began a 42-mile hike that day at 5:45 a.m. And as they went along the way, they met hikers, asked if they wanted a bottle of water. They gave them a bottle of water, and if they were willing, they gave them an abbreviated Gospel of John and a prayer to go with it. And they said they had a great time, and who knows what the Lord will do through those random acts of kindness. So can proclaiming the gospel be a fun task? Absolutely. Sometimes it's also can be very difficult and hard. Did you read this yesterday on Fox News? That there's this woman up in North Carolina, 32 years old, got home with her 15-year-old son to Shelby, North Carolina, after a church on Wednesday night, and a man attacked her, and her son hid by the trash cans, and he took her inside with a knife to her throat and slashed her throat, didn't kill her. And what did she do? She invited him to her church. She kept on reading the Word of God to him for more than an hour and just witnessed to this man. And eventually the man broke down, basically cried, said he was sorry, and left. Now, he didn't come to church. But if this should happen, and next week is Friendship Sunday, invite him to church, all right? Sometimes it's hard. It is difficult. But sometimes it's really fun. And in all things, it's the great adventure and call of God upon our lives. Luther said, once you've tasted of the thrill of confessing the gospel, and especially in the face of great opposition, you'll never think lightly of it again, and you'll want to taste it again and again. If you don't witness, you don't want to witness even more the next day. If you do witness, it builds, and God gives you more, and you get even more excited to have more courage for the next time. But then you might say this, I'm not an evangelist, though, Pastor. I hear, okay, the sermon on evangelism. All right. Fine, it's going to be a nice sermon, but it don't apply to me, right? Are we all evangelists with a capital E? Well, we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says, and God's gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry for building up the body of Christ. So, some people are evangelists with a capital E, other people are not, right? I mean, it says also in 1 Corinthians 12, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all interpret? Answer is no. Not everybody is all of these things. Not everybody's capital E evangelist. Some of you are, and at least, and hopefully all of us, but if not, at least you're an evangelist with a small e, because you know what Jesus says? He says, you're the light of the world. All of you in this room, in this sanctuary, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill can't be hidden. You don't put it under a bushel. You don't hide it under a stand. You put it on a stand so that all may see. And Paul says, how are people to call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men preach unless they're sent? What's the answer? It can't happen. You got to be sent, and then a person hears, a person knows the name, believes, and calls on the name of Jesus for salvation. So you are part of this great plan. And Peter says, therefore, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that's in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. So, can God use you, even someone like you, or me? Well, my family, one of our favorite movies, kids' movies, is George of the Jungle. You know that one? It's like a parody of Tarzan. And there's one point where this guy, Lyle, has been attacked by a lion, and then he keeps embellishing the story, and he tells the African guides, yes, there were two lions. They came upon me. And the African guides say, oh, so in this story there are two lions. He says, well, the important thing to remember, fellows, is that I was outnumbered. And they say in Swahili, it's easy to be outnumbered when you are a zero. All right. Do you feel like a zero? Like God can't use you? You're a nobody? You're a nothing? That's perfect. How about you? Do you feel that way? All right. Well, it's perfect if you do. You know why? This is who God uses. God says to Moses, and now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me. I've seen the oppression of with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I'll be with you. So he's saying, I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. So God continues to convince him. Then he says, but Moses answered, but behold, they won't believe me. They won't listen to my voice. They'll say, the Lord didn't appear to you. God says, all right, I got a rod. It's a miracle-working rod. Show them this. But, verse 10, but Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Either heretofore or since thou hast spoken to thy servant, I'm slow of speech and of tongue. The Lord said, who made man's mouth? Who makes person dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. But, Moses said, oh, my Lord, send, I pray, some other person. Does this not sound like you? Right? God says, go. You say, but I can't speak. No. I made your mouth. God says, go. You say, but, Lord, they won't listen. They won't believe me. No, go. I'll be with your mouth. And on and on and on. And eventually we say, God, send some other person. Not me. Come on. I'm watching the Super Bowl today. All right? You know, God uses zeros. Are you a nobody? Then you have a perfect qualification. That's his resume. You know, sometimes when people graduate from college and people look at that resume, they're upset that the person has so much experience. They want someone who knows nothing so they can train them the way they want, right? This is what God wants. If you're a zero and you're nobody, then he calls and sends you today, this week, to witness and to share and to invite people to church. It was once said of Moses, he spent his first 40 years in life thinking he was somebody. He was a prince in Egypt. His second 40 years thinking he was a nobody, a shepherd out in the wilderness. And his third 40 years realizing what God can do with a somebody who realizes he's a nobody. Are you a nobody? Well, God then made him a leader of Israel. Consider Paul. Are you a sinner? Or you have a terrible life or had a terrible life? Well, Paul was ravaging the church. He was entering house after house. He dragged men and women out and committed them to prison, right? And what happened? God appeared to him on a road to Damascus. A light shone around him. He said, "Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." Are you a sinner? Have you had a terrible life? Do you feel like you're not qualified? God says, "Go, and I'll be with you." Peter, James, and John were uneducated men. It says the Pharisees, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and they perceived they were uneducated, common men, they wondered, "How can they be speaking like this?" And they recognized that they'd been with Jesus. What does it take for you to be a great evangelist? To realize you're a zero and to put a one in front of it. A zero and a one, that makes a perfect 10. Jesus is that other person. How about Amos in our Old Testament reading today? He was ticking people off up in Israel. He was preaching up there, and they say, "O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah and eat bread there and prophesy there. Don't prophesy again in Bethel, in Israel, in the north. For it's the king's sanctuary. It's the temple of the kingdom." Then Amos answered Amaziah, "I am no prophet, nor am I a prophet's son. I'm a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock. And the Lord said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord.'" Isn't that great? He wasn't qualified at all. He kept gardens. God sent him. Jeremiah said, "I'm a youth. I don't know how to speak. I'm only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Don't say I'm only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of them. For I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Behold, I've put my words in your mouth." Are you afraid? Come on, if we were all preaching out there every day, we'd have 1,000 new faces in here, right? Right? I love all your faces, by the way. I just want to see some new ones as well, which we do. But it's fear, isn't it? But every time any of these guys in the Bible says, "I'm afraid, and that's my excuse," God always says, "But I am with you. I am here to deliver you. I'll put my words in your mouth. I'll make it happen. You just be willing and go, and I will do the work in and through you." And who cares if it doesn't work out right? Anyway, it's always going to work out right if you are simply willing to yield to the Lord. Can God even speak through an ass, a donkey? Numbers 22, "The angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in the narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left." This is Balaam. He's riding on his way to curse Israel or bless him. "When the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck his ass with his staff," the donkey. "Then the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said to him, 'What have I done to you that you struck me these 3 times? And Balaam said to the ass, 'Behold, you've made sport of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand, for I'd kill you.' And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why have you struck the ass these 3 times? Behold, I have come forth to withstand you because your way is perverse before me.' And the ass saw me and turned aside before me these 3 times. If she'd not turned aside from me, surely just now I would have slain you and let her live." So, can God speak through an ass? A donkey? Right? God can speak through you. Okay? I'm not saying that's what you are. Okay? I'm just saying we're taking an extreme example here, all right? If God can do that, God can speak through a zero like me. I stand before you as a zero myself. Why should I be a pastor? Why should I be a preacher? I ran away from parties as a kid. I didn't like being with groups of people. I remember one day, this is in like nursery school, all the kids were talking about Amanda Coffey's birthday party. And my mom was like, why are all the other kids and all the other mothers so excited to go to Amanda Coffey's birthday party, and my son is desperately trying to get out of it? And eventually, the way she got me there, she said, we're going to go to the grocery store. We got into the car, and all of a sudden, it seemed like a James Bond episode. I'm like, this isn't the way to the airport. This isn't the way to the grocery store. Where are you taking me? No! Because I just didn't really, I've always run away from parties and crowds. But here, God took me, a zero, and made me a leader of people. And praise be to God, supplied me with the joy of doing it. So God always uses zeros, puts a one, namely Jesus, in front of it, and makes you a perfect 10. So if you're unqualified, disqualified, whatever else, God still says, I send you, and I'm going to be with you. Enter into the joy of the adventure of sharing my son, and as you do, I'm going to add to you courage. I'm going to add to you joy, and it's going to be such a thrill that you'll want to do it more and more. So how should we do that? How do we evangelize other people? Well, one great way is through your life. When I was in seminary in Gordon-Conwell, Massachusetts, we went out one day to evangelize, and we found an old man raking leaves, and we went and raked his yard for him. And that night, we got home, and I got a call from the wife of that old man, and she said, who on earth are you? That I've never seen a kindness like this in my life. Who are you? I demand you come to dinner. I mean, here's a woman, an old Jewish family who were not believers, and they desperately wanted to know what inspired you to do this random act of kindness to us. And she not only received an audience for the gospel, she demanded to know. So we can show by our lives. You can begin with your families, your friends, and your neighbors, and you can begin by bringing someone to church next week. It's Friendship Sunday. Let's try this. Will you come to church with me next week? Now, is that so hard? I noticed some of you had a little trouble with that, but this week, that's all it takes. If you have trouble sharing the gospel and you don't feel eloquent, God will be with your words, but even so, at least bring them here where they can hear, and I'll do my best to preach the gospel each week. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, says Paul. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. The good news is that Jesus has died for us. The good news that you're hearing through my lips today is Jesus is Savior of the world. And the good news is that the Holy Spirit gives you faith right now to believe and so be saved, and you are washed, you're forgiven, you're accepted and acceptable to God. You are adopted as his children. You're heirs of heaven. But how are men to call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? So let's speak and act. As God told Paul, don't be afraid, but speak. And don't be silent, for I'm with you. And no man shall attack you to harm you, for I have many people in this city. Our inspiration is always Jesus Christ. Let's conclude with this. What else do you have to do in the world after all? God has given you everything in Christ. All things are already yours. You have nothing left to get or to grab in this life. You're here then with one ambition, and one ambition only is to give. There's nothing left to get, but everything to give in this life. And we're to bring people, sinners, to a God who said to the woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again. And I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. For I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. People need the Lord. People need this word. People need to hear you. God needs you. And so let's do it. Oh God, Psalm 71, from my youth you have taught me. and I still proclaim your wonderful deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me till I proclaim thy might to all the generations to come. Amen.